Thank you, Jay, for letting me do anything around here. I want to teach on the two C's of horrible marriage. One C of good marriage, one C of horrible marriage. How about that? Good? And they are covetousness and contentment. Okay? So now you know. So we can go. Go to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, let's go. That's what Jesus Christ would say sometimes. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Wow. The guy says, Tell my brother to give me some of the money. And he goes, Who made me the judge or divider? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He had a good year. He's making lots of money. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits. And my goods. I'm going to build big barns and put lots of fruits and goods in there. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Everything's going to be fine. But God said unto him, Thou fool. So Jesus Christ said, Man, and what did God say? Oh. Fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards who? Towards God. And in verse 15, he said to them, Take heed. And take heed is to look, perceive, keep a lookout, take heed, and beware. And beware is watch out. Guard yourself, defend yourself, take heed, and beware of covetousness. Why beware of covetousness? Why watch out that doesn't creep into your life? Why beware of that? Because covetousness is someone who always has to have more. It means a having more. Or the will to have more. The will to have more stuff. And it says, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. And the things which he possesses are the things. You can translate it, the things. Or existing, the things that exist, or the things in your hand. The abundant life isn't what you have in your hands, you know, the things that you can grab, or your possessions, or that which one has, or some people might say, your goods. That's a translation too, my goods. And Jesus Christ said, watch out, you better be aware of covetousness. That's having this attitude like you always got to have more stuff, always got to have more things. You know, always got to have more. And what happens is people are never happy with what they have. They think they'll be happy if they get, guess what? More. But does it work? No. It doesn't work. Because when you do get more, guess what? There's more. There's more. And, you know, people who study marriage, I don't. But I read books by people who do. Or I read one once, years ago. Like in the way car, I read one book one time. I think maybe we were told to read one book one time. Anyways, you know what the number one cause of divorce is? People. Money, that's right. Money's number one. And covetousness is a big part of it. Always having to have more stuff. Never being happy with what we have. Look at Ecclesiastes 5. And it'll tear apart a house, you know. Always having to have more and more and more. Ecclesiastes 5. I know they told me to read a book on marriage. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. Did you ever think about this? What do you think the King of England eats? Nothing. There is no King of England. But what do you think the Prince of Wales eats? Whales? The same stuff you do. You suppose his coffee is like better than your coffee? He drinks coffee in a nice cup with people watching him, but it's all the same. We all eat the same stuff. We used to have like a $100 cup of coffee in Japan. Did you ever hear about that? And they said, what's the difference between our coffee and that $100 cup? And they go, the price. Everybody eats the same stuff. You know, everybody, the things that we can enjoy, everybody can enjoy. Now look at this, verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. So if you love silver, if you love money, are you ever going to be happy? No. And satisfied means fulfilled. Never going to be fulfilled, no matter how much. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. If you're in love with having a lot of stuff, if you get a lot of stuff, are you going to be happy? No. The truth is, you're never going to be any more fulfilled or blessed or whatever than you are right now. Because it's all in your heart. It's all what's in your heart. And people who think that if they only had more, they'd be happy, or they'd be blessed, or they'd feel secure, or they'd not worry as much, or feel more protected, they're wrong. Those are all mental habits. That has nothing to do with the things outside. And someone who loves silver will never be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. In verse 11, when goods increase, you just get a bigger posse. Look what happens. When goods increase, your relatives are more friendly towards you. When goods increase, they are increased that what? Eat them. So if you make $1 billion, you got to hire more people to eat the food. When goods increase, they are increased to eat them. And what good is there to the beholders thereof, saving the beholding of them with what? Wow, I have $10 billion. What can you do with it? Eat an apple just like anyone else? Look at this. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. A working guy can sleep. How valuable is that? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not, what? You know, doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't help you sleep at night. And it's nice to sleep at night. That's rich. You can sleep here now. It's night. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. For those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Now look at this. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. Is that true? No one's taking anything with him. And this life is short, you know? And if you dedicate it to things and to stuff, or have this attitude like, if I only had more, I wouldn't worry. That's not true. If you had more, you'd worry just as much as you worry now. If I only could see all the money I'd ever need in my bank account right now, I wouldn't worry. Yes, you would. Because worry comes from the heart, from the inside, see? And so that kind of attitude doesn't help people to be blessed. Verse 15, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. The only labor you get rewarded for is the labor you do for who? You know, the things you do in the love of God and for God. All the labor that we do for material things or for whatever else, we don't take those with us. We don't get rewarded for those unless we do it with the love of God and working heartily and all that kind of stuff. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind, for nothing? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath, and that's vexation with his sickness. His life's just crazy, and what's he have at the end of his life? Air, the wind, nothing. So you have to watch out for covetousness. Our culture is very materialistic. The American culture, or the Western culture really, is very materialistic. And that's the tendency to be more concerned with material rather than spiritual goals. To be more interested in material goals, you know, getting material things, getting money, getting houses, getting cars, getting security or whatever that is, than spiritual goals, getting to know God, having a relationship with God, you know, spending some time learning about God, learning how to walk with God, you know, that second. And our country is very materialistic, isn't it? You know, I was watching TV the other day, and I realized, you know why this, TV plays all these shows and stuff like that? I guess I'm stupid. I'm like, I'm over 40 years old, and it just came to me. You know the reason why they're playing all these free shows and stuff like that for me? To get me to want stuff, right? To get me to buy stuff. isn't TV sponsored by ads and stuff like that? How about Facebook? Isn't that sponsored by ads? Like, to get you to buy stuff. And one of the best ways to get you to buy stuff is to convince you that you need it. And your life would be better with it. And your life sucks now because you don't have it. Like, you could have dandruff. I never even heard of dandruff until I watched TV. So then you need, like, what? Head and Shoulders, right? Convince people they need all this stuff. But a lot of this stuff people don't need. And no material thing makes your life abundant. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, great gain is large, abundant, and gain is a providing. That's getting a lot for your life. Great increase, great profit. Godliness is having a relationship with God, a true and vital spiritual relationship with God. And contentment means sufficiency within oneself. In other words, you have this attitude like you have everything you need. You know, if you believe God's word, you can be sitting here right now and say or believe that you have everything you'll ever need. Because does God say that in his word? He says, my God shall what?
Supply.
How much?
All
your need. So you can sit here right now and all the questions about your life, you know, the material stuff, are you going to be okay? You can know the answer. Know it by believing God's word, right? And believing is to make a decision. Sometimes it's to make a decision to just quit arguing about it. Decide you believe that. And so you can have all the weight off your shoulders for providing for whatever has to be provided for because you believe God's word. And God says he'll meet all your needs, right? He'll meet all of your needs. That's contentment. That maybe you don't have the rent 10 years from now. Maybe you don't have the rent for your house or your mortgage for 10 years from now. But when you need that mortgage, you know it's in you. In other words, it's in the God in Christ in you, that you and God will be able to take care of that. And your whole life you'll be taken care of because who will be with you your whole life? That's contentment. You understand? Mm-hmm. Sufficiency within oneself. It's not sufficiency by yourself, but you know because of the God in Christ in you and what a wonderful Father you have that you have everything you need. You don't have to worry about anything. You know it's all contained within. The word contentment comes from the English word contained, meaning it's all inside. It's all within. And with us, it's all with us and God. You have it. You know it's all contained within. It's spoken of a mind that is satisfied with its lot. And that's, God says, that's a rich person. Someone who's satisfied. Someone who's content. Satisfied, by the way, means to fulfill the needs or to be free from doubt and anxiety. If you're satisfied, you're free from doubt and anxiety. And how can we be free from doubt and anxiety? If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, how about I can be free from doubt and anxiety because I have a God who has big pockets and has said he'll take care of me in any situation. And satisfied also means to convince or to answer a doubt convincingly. You know, that's one of the definitions of satisfied, to answer a doubt convincingly. And with us, it's like, are we going to be okay? God says he'll meet all our needs. I'm satisfied. What about next week? I'm going skiing and I don't have a blue hat. God says he'll meet my needs. I'm satisfied. What about next year? If I have to shave my beard and I don't have a razor. God says he'll meet your needs. I'm sad. What happened if my car crashes? I need a new car. And my insurance has lapsed. God will meet your needs. I'm satisfied. That's content. It's not, you know, being like a spaced out, you know, I'm not going to think of anything ever again. It's, I know God will take care of me. I know it's all with me and God. If God says he'll take care of me. So whatever comes up, it'll be okay. So I'm satisfied. And says, but godliness, that relationship with God, with that contentment, that satisfaction, that's being rich. That's a rich person on this earth. For once again, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us be therewith what? Content. Here's just another form. It means let's be satisfied. Let's be blessed with what we have. Isn't that cool? So I guess that's what God says. I know, I guess a part of living here is never be satisfied until you are a Broadway dancer and have followed your heart to the end of the unicorn trail or something like that. And all your dreams have come true. Well, God's word says, having food and raiment, let us be there with what? Be content. So, husbands, do you have food and raiment?
Yeah.
Be content. Wives, do you have food and raiment? What would God say? Not me, because I might say something different. What would God say if he was sitting there? Hey, be content. Be content. I'll take care of you. Be content. Look at John 6. Maybe you don't need, like, the newest microwave oven every 3 months. Just be content with your old microwave oven, you know? People get into debt, into huge debt, because they're not content with what they have. And that causes a lot of hassles, a lot of problems. Be content. If you need something, you need it. If you don't need it, maybe you don't need it. John 6. You can always charge it, though, right? But you know what? You have to pay for that sometime. You know that the things that you charge, you have to pay for. Did you know that? Like, you don't. It's not like you get a card that gives you free stuff all over the world. And they even charge interest, so you have to pay more for it, right? And why charge stuff you don't need, especially if you guys who are younger in your marriages? Why? You need a new car every year? The world says you do, but why do they tell you that? They need your money every year. They want your money. You don't need a new car every year. You know, take care of stuff. But God says, hey, if you have food and raiment, and that includes, you know, shelter, be what?
Content.
Be content. Come on. Be content. John 6. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did, on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So there was, how many people were here? You can skip ahead. How many people?
5,000.
So he's looking at 5,000 people, right? And he says to Philip, where can we get bread for this 5,000 people? Is there 5,000 people in here?
No.
You ever been around 5,000 people? There's like 7,000 people in Milltown or something like that. So it's a lot of people, right? And he's going, where can we buy bread for everybody that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now here's how you can look at this. Like, you could be like Philip and just look at what you have materially. You know, what you have in your hands. And what did he have in his hands? 200 penny. And was that enough? And that word sufficient, by the way, is the same as content. It's like enough. But Philip was just looking at what he had in his pockets and was like, there's no way we could take care of all these people with 200 penny worth, you know? How did Jesus Christ look at it, though? They had 200 penny worth and maybe a little lad with a couple of fishes. And what else did they have going for them? God. And how much does God have? Now you can look at it like, what's in my pockets right now? I don't have enough. Or you can go, is there any little lads out there that are going to help me? Or maybe you can go, maybe God will help me. And how much stuff does God have? God has a ton. How do you want to look at it? Well, Philip just looked at what he had in his pockets. And was like, this ain't enough. And maybe you feel like that sometimes. And then maybe a little lad might walk by your house. Verse 8, one of his disciples, it always kills you that there's 5,000 people and one kid with a couple with the food. But I don't know. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. There's a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? So they had 200 penny worth and 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And so they're like, you can't feed 5,000 people with that. And you're right. But could God feed 5,000 people?
Yep.
And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. And he said, eat the grass. No. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples of them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were all filled, they all had their needs met. All of them were filled. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So everybody ate to the full. They were all satisfied. They had their need met. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So not only did everybody have enough, but there was extra. There was extra. And who did that? The same God that's your God. The same God that's your God. You might have 200 pence in your pocket, and one of your little lads has barley loaves and stuff, but what else do you have going for you? Why have a God that's not going to help you? You know, why call God, your God, if you don't think he's going to help you, be strong for you, come through for you, do wonderful things for you? And that's how to, you know, live an abundant life, not, you know, putting your whole life into getting stuff. Put your whole life into knowing God. That's where the real profit is. That's where the real riches is in this life. Look at Psalm 23. Like, you could have probably been making money right now. But, you know, sitting in this teaching will probably do more for your life than making money. You know why? Because God can do more for your life than money. God can do more for your life than a Mercedes-Benz or 10 vacations or all the stuff that people dedicate their life to. God can do more. And it might be worth it to put the time in to get to know God and be reminded about God and to learn how to walk with God. You know, Psalm 23. You might end up being the smart one of the family because you went with God. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. What's it say after that? There it is. That's really all you got to know, isn't it? God's your shepherd. God's your God. I know we're not his sheep and stuff, but it's the figure. God's your God. Well, what does it say? I shall not want. I won't want. I'll have what I need because God's taking care of me. Why have a God that isn't going to take care of you? Psalm 24. Are you there already? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now we know the adversary runs the kingdoms of the world, but the earth is whose? And the fullness thereof is whose? That's your God. He's got a lot. He's got a lot of resource. He's got more resource than any human. You know, he's got a lot of ways to give and a lot of things that he can do for people. Look at Psalm 50. Verse 9, I will take no bullock out of thy house, is God talking, nor he-goats out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I don't need anything from you. I've got everything. He has access to everything. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. All this cool stuff in the world you can have from God. You know, like food, all that shelter, all the things you need to keep yourself alive and keep yourself going. It's all God can do what he wants with it. Why wouldn't he help you? And he says he will help you. I like the record of the manna in Exodus 16. We don't have time to go through it, but you remember when God fed Israel with manna? Well, what was the deal with that? First of all, why was it called manna? They didn't know what it was. God came up with a food no one had even heard of before. A new food group. Invented a whole new food group just for these people. And when they went out and gathered it up, what did they have at the end of the day? When they gathered in the morning, and everybody had what? Just what they needed for that day. And like if one guy gathered a lot and one guy gathered a little, they put it together, everybody had exactly what they needed for that day. Isn't that cool? And they lived that. And then on the Sabbath, when they were supposed to work on Saturday, they would go out and they'd gather it all in, and it would be twice as much. So they'd have just what they needed for today and just what they needed for tomorrow. And they lived that way for 40 years, where they had just what they needed for what? That day. And that's how God works many times. He'll make sure you have just what you need for what? Today. It even says it in Matthew. I might read it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God will take, you know, they didn't have manna for the next week. They didn't have food for the next week. They had food for what? That day. But they had it every day. Faithfully. Every day. And God will make sure he has huge resource. He might not give you $10 billion. He might not ever see you again. I mean, in the Old Testament, God told them, and they did it. When they got really full, when they had everything, they forgot about God. They didn't need him anymore. But God has $10 million, so to speak, or a billion, trillion, trillion, and he'll give you what you need, what, for the day. Let him hold the rest. You know, let him carry all the big bills and all that kind of stuff. He'll be there for you every day for your entire life to meet whatever need comes up, whatever evil happens that day. And that's content. I know that. I don't care if I, you know, live in a little house or a big house or have a little car or a big car or whatever. I got God. And how horrible to compare God to a car or to make a house. It's like, what? There's not that much resource. You guys want to own a house? Well, you have to fix it, you know.
Yeah, really.
And they fall over a lot. Hebrews 11. People settle for so little when they could have all the abundance and riches of God in their life. And not just materially, just the fulfillment, just having God show you things and work in you. You know, being able to do miracles and heal people and knowing their spirits in a room. All these things that come from relationship with God. Seeing the cause of stuff. All the wisdom and insight and power that a believer has. And to settle for working your whole life just for stuff, it's just a... It's just cheap. It's way cheap. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I'm not telling you husbands to quit your jobs now. And I'm going to walk to Egypt on a star. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't please God without believing. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You got to believe he's there. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And a rewarder means a payer of full wages. You got to believe that it pays to seek God. It pays to seek God. Diligently seek means to seek for oneself. And I love that. In other words, you know, it pays to seek God for yourself. To put in the effort to know God. That pays. That pays dividends in every part of your life. In every part of your family's life. Actually, the prophecy that Maria brought forth is this whole teaching. And a part of that prophecy was that it wouldn't just be pay dividends for you, it would pay dividends for what? Your children and your... Think about that. You want to leave a big trust for your children and grandchildren? How about the Word? The Word in your life. Your example, the way you walk on the Word. And then your children having that Word. And then their children having that Word. Because I know a lot of people who got left a trust fund. I actually got left a trust fund myself to go to college. And I didn't use mine because I was went to the Way Corps where I didn't read any of the books they told me to read. But my brother used his to go to a college where you skied all the time. I think he was there for 7 years. And his degree was in metal sculpture. So that was worth the money. And living on it now. But I'm talking about trust funds. But to have a relationship with God and to put in the time and the love to seek God for yourself, to get to really know God, to have a real relationship with him, a real vital spiritual relationship with him, that pays. That pays. And that's what God said in Timothy, like, that's rich. That's rich. Because what won't God do for you? That was in the manifestations too. He is for you. He's on your side. It's just a matter of learning how to believe and not get distracted and walk with him. It's well worth it. In Colossians 3, and these are the things that break up a family too, having to have all these things, getting into all this debt for these things, all the pressure that comes from paying that debt for these things, you know, getting behind the eight ball, that puts so much pressure on a family. And it's not necessary. Be content with what you have, you know? Colossians 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, the spiritual stuff, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, the spiritual stuff, not on things on the earth. For you are dead or complete, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, the carnal stuff in your life, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what?
Idolatry.
Always having to have more is to turn away from the one true God and look elsewhere for your wholeness and completeness. It's looking somewhere else for your needs to be met, looking someone else for your sense of safety, for your sense of security, looking somewhere else so you don't have to worry. Looking somewhere else for who you are, or, you know, if you're going to be okay. And it doesn't work. That's the sad thing about it. Psalm 63. There's only one God. There's only one God that does things. The one true God that does things for people. Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I what?
Seek.
My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no waters, there is a God, and he can be known. He wants to have a relationship with you and I, and he can be known. I mean, he walks with us. He talks with us. That's supposed to be the reality. Seek that. Verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. God is so kind. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be what? Satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You're satisfied when you have God. You're walking with God and have a relationship with God. There used to be some old song. There was this thing called, remember the line was, a satisfied mind? Satisfied mind. They used to sing it like the hippies used to sing it when we first got in the Word. But what's it worth to have a satisfied mind? And it's God that gives satisfaction in this life. It only comes from God. God is the only one who can fill the hole. Not a person, not things, not a million vacations. God. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on all the things people did wrong to me in the night watches. That says, when I remember who on my bed. Try that tonight. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. He protects us. He watches over us. My soul followeth hard after thee. That means I'm really into this. I really want to know you. My right hand, thy right hand upholdeth me. The effort to get to know God pays. To have a relationship with him pays. Look at Psalm 107. And I guess you got to decide if you think that's true. I mean, if it's worth it to put in the time to walk and talk with God, or if it's worth it to put in the time to get a bunch of stuff. You know? Like, we were so blessed to have a house for our kids, and now it's empty. well, not really, but figuratively. Should be, but that's another story. Psalm 107. Verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why don't people talk about God's goodness and his wonderful works ever? I just love this part. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He satisfieth the longing soul. And the longing soul is someone who's running to and forth and up and down, just looking for satisfaction, looking for wholeness. Someone who is longing for to get that hole filled in their heart, in their life, longing for completeness, longing to know who they are, longing for identity. God satisfies someone who's running around looking for that. He satisfies people. The satisfaction in this life comes from God. Psalm 145. If you're dying, it's almost over. You can go home and watch the Yankee game, and in between, what kind of ads will be in the Yankee game? You know why you can watch the Yankee game? You know why? Why is that free in your house, that Yankee game?
Ads.
And I always like to see the demographic. You can tell the demographic of who watches the programs by the ads, right? Like if it's the news, it's all about medicine. And if it's football, it's beer, trucks, and video games. Well, and for, with the Yankee game, what would it be?
WB Mason.
Oh, paper?
Paper, yes.
I don't know what they're trying to get. Trying to get you to buy paper to make you happy. But all these ads, just they have these people who are having the greatest life, and it's because they got this car, you know, or they got this beer, or they got this or that. Their whole life is great. Like one car, if you got it, you would go. You could travel all around the world to all the wilderness with this one car, and they're just happy, happy, happy. That's bull. God satisfies people. You know, God is the one who brings joy to people's life. Psalm 145. You just see what ads they have there. 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Think about that. That's God. That stuff only comes from God. Only comes from God. Look at Psalm 16. And if you want to tear apart your marriage, be into things. Be into material things, you know. People, first they worry, I'm never going to get a husband, I'm never going to get a husband, I'll never get a wife, I'll never get a wife. And then they get married, I'll never have enough, I'll never have enough, I'll never have a new car. Just be content. Be content. Psalm 16. It's okay to be content. Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. It's saying, do you know what people are supposed to get out of this life? God. That's your portion. God. You knowing God. You having a relationship with God. That's a good inheritance. And everybody here has the right to have a relationship with God and the ability to have a real, vital, spiritual relationship with God. And it does take some effort. It takes some time and that kind of stuff. But this is such a cool one because it's like, God is my inheritance. What do you get out of this? How about God? What do you want out of this life? How about you know God? How about God is active in your life? That sweet, kind, loving God. That powerful God. The God who knows you better than everybody else and loves you more than anyone else and can do more for you than anyone else. That's what you want out of this life. Verse 6 again. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. And that means I just have the most wonderful place, the most ideal place. And you know where it is? With God. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set God always before me. You know, God is first, because he is at my right hand. He's the most important. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. I'm a happy person. I'm a joyful person. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is, what's this?
Fullness
of joy. Not big burdens and lots of guilt. Fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's the best life. And someone who has that is rich. Proverbs 15. In closing, five scriptures. What do you want for your house? What's going to make your house the nicest? Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in what? It's better to have a little with respect for God than all sorts of stuff. And in verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs, a whole 30 yucky dinner. No, that's all meat. That's all meat. Better is meat and no herbs. No. Do we have to change how we do things when we get together now? We can't have pasta and all that kind of stuff. We have to have a whole section for the whole 30 people. No bread, no pasta, no sugar. Just a big piece of jerky. Oh, there's sugar and jerky. No ham. Cookies? Verse 17, well, better is a dinner of herbs, where what? Than a stalled ox, and that means big steaks, fillets every night. Oh, bunch of beef. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred. Hatred there. It's better to live in a house where there's love. It's better to live in a house where there's respect for God than to have all this stuff and all this strife that it takes to get it. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel, you know, one crouton. One sugar-free, non-bread crouton. What's the substitute for croutons on the Whole 30? It's a piece of wood. I found a substitute for croutons. It's called wood. It's called dice, old dice. Better is a dry morsel and quietness, peace therewith, than a house full of sacrifices, meaning lots of meat once again, with what?
Strife.
It's better. It's better for your house if you have the love of God in there. If both of you know God and walk with God, you know, than being cranked all the time to make the bills and get all this stuff. Hebrews 13. And we are in a very materialistic society. That seems to be the answer for everything. Verse 5. Let your conversation, your behavior, be without covetousness, without always having to have more before you're blessed or whatever. And be content. Be content with such things as you have. That's what God says. I'm not saying this from me. That's what God says. Be content with what you have. So, be content with what you have. Be content. For he has said, I will never, never leave thee, nor never, never, never forsake thee, is how you could read that. God's never going to leave you. God's always going to be right there. There's one in Psalms where it says, he's going to have his hand on you all the time. It's a good picture, like, God with his arm around you, your whole life. And what kind of God is that? The God who, he can do anything. I mean, he's huge in resource. The host of the Lord, you know, all the things God can do. Him with his arm around you, your whole life. He will never, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God's my helper. God's there to help me. And having God as a helper is worth more than anything else on this earth. And it's the only thing that makes a person truly rich. Okay? So, Tim, you want to pray?
Father, thanks for supplying for us. Thanks for being so good to us. I pray that we can see you bigger in our lives and that we can really just believe you more. And thanks for a great night tonight, and thanks for the opportunity to hear your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
No one in the world will agree with that. No one. So it makes it tough because everybody tells you what you need. I remember in the 80s and early 90s, people telling me, believers telling me, even, you have to buy a house because it's a really good investment. And then I don't know if you remember what happened to the real estate market about 5 years after that. It completely tanked, you know. My house wasn't worth anything. So, you know, you can't believe the world and its lies. What a great sharing for married couples, for anybody. You know, God says he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God is not capable of not taking care of us. It's not available. He has to. It's his job. Our job is to believe it, like he read in Hebrews 11:6. And, you know, it's impossible to please God without believing. But you got to believe that he is. In other words, you got to know he's there. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What a sharing. So, that's it for tonight. Sure love you. Enjoy the fall evening. Whatever you do, love each other. Okay, see you. Bye.